Inserting a bookmark, I closed my book and set it down on the arm of the sofa. Standing from the sofa, leaving the embrace and comfort of its large, soft cushions was almost more of a challenge than it should have been. Stretching, I left the sanctuary of the sofa and walked over to the window to watch the rain. The rain. It had been raining for days. I wondered if it would ever stop. I was beginning to feel like a bird in a cage. I stood at the window, staring at the rain, staring deep into dark thunderclouds, staring at falling rain dancing in deep puddles. I stood staring out the window for what felt like an eternity. The sun, it was hidden all day by rain clouds, had begun to slide down and hide behind the earth, and what little light had been faded. And as the light of the day faded, the soft light that illumined the room began to reflect on the window. And as I stared out into the now dark window, I saw a reflection of myself in the window. My reflection floated in the night, impervious to the rain. I smiled, staring at my reflection, watching it as it smiled back at me. This was a perfect example of the Peppers effect that Zach was telling me about at Nauticon, and it really did look like I was floating out in the night. I blinked, and before another thought could enter my mind, my reflection no longer floated alone in the night. Again, my reflection revealed companions to either side of me. This time, I knew better than to bother looking beside me. They were never there. They were only ever in the reflection. Hey, what's up with all this rain? Does it ever stop? I mean, being all cooped up in here all the time, I'm starting to feel like a bird. It had come out harsher than I intended. I just wanted to be able to ask a question, to be able to think, to say something before these pair could open their mouths and start talking. Their voices were so melodic, soft, sweet, and hypnotic. Once they started, it seemed to override all thought and speech, at least until they had stopped and left. But by then they were gone, and it was far too late for any questions.
These is but one of many seasons.
One of the companions began.
And the rainy seasons are known as the tears of all dogs.
The second one said, finishing the first thought. Tears? What are they talking about?
Yes, here in these lands, the raindrops are
teardrops. Tears of sorrow, regret, pain, happiness, and joy. All tears that fall to Odd Off City.
You see, no tear is ever shed without cause, and no tear falls in vain.
Each tear has meaning imbued with passion of one kind or another.
And many accompanied by old sight and great yearning, all tears that fall from cheeks fall into the time stream, and they fall from the time stream into the lands of Lord Adam.
Thus, the rains are known as the tears of Odd Off City.
The tears of Odd Off City saturate and fertilize the land.
nurtured by the tears. The land grows, rich, and strong.
Hopes, joy, dreams, and wishes all grow from the land.
And the land grows with the cause and meaning imbued from the tears.
Tears of sorrow, and grief, grows strong, rugged man, determined to thrive and survive.
Tears of hope, joy, and happiness, grow rich, bountiful land, which embrace us.
Tears are quite powerful. They create and inspire much of that which surrounds us.
And you think your kind would have a little more love of the rain.
Footsteps from behind announced the approach of Kichigai. I turned my head just in time to see him walk in through the doorway.
Hey, boss!
I turned back to the window to watch the rain.
Hey, Kichigai.
My reflection still alone, absent of companions.
You wanna me to cook up some ramen, boss?
I stared out the window, half watching the rain and half watching my reflection. The things the companions had said about the rain echoed through my head as if it were hollow. Whatever they had said, tears or no, I still felt cooped up in here like a bird. And the thought suddenly sparked an old memory, reminding me of something. Turning from the window, I turned to face Kichigai.
You know, I'm not really hungry. And we've not really done anything to work up an appetite. So, instead of ramen, why don't you go warm up the intro, and let's do a show!
In a heartbeat, Kichigai's eyes went from dull and glazed to wide and attentive as a wide smile ripped across his face from ear to ear.
Roger, boss! Broadcast time!
He screamed as he did a backflip out of the doorway and out of sight. Turning, I smiled at my reflection in the mirror. You know, there's a reason why that man is number one ninja assistant.
Night school.
We are currently experiencing sun outages. Sun outages occur each year during the months of March and October when the sun, earth, and satellites are in perfect alignment. During this time, you may experience brief service interruptions or poor picture quality between the hours of noon and 5 o'clock p.m.
EngineNightSchool.com.
Thank you.
Snatch back your brain, zombie. Snatch it back and hold it.
Hey,
Fresh and Fresh, y'all. I am Low Tech Mystic, and you? Well, you, my friends, would be listening to Ninja Night School, being broadcast live into the time stream from the Node Towers high atop Mount Ratchet in beautiful Audaw City. This is episode number 16 for Thursday, April 27th, 2006. Ninja Night School is licensed under the Creative Commons, and you are free to do whatever you want to do with it. Have a blast. And on to the housekeeping part of the show. Hi-yah!
Housekeeping! Housekeeping, you want mint for pillow? Housekeeping, you want towel? Housekeeping, you want me to jerk you off? Housekeeping?
Alright, it's housekeeping time. Kitchy guy, what's up first on the list?
Right, boss! Important email!
That's right, Kitchy guy. We do have an important email. We got an email that I overlooked, and I didn't notice it until the other day when I was going through all the spam and just reading through it to make sure that it wasn't something else before I deleted it. And I came across an email that actually wasn't spam and was intended for the show, and I can't believe that I overlooked it. So I'm gonna read this email that was sent to us by Necromagus Lumina, and it's a very cool email. So here we go. It starts out, "Hey Mist, your show kicks serious ass, dude. I agree with you on nearly everything. TV does suck. I'm also sorry to admit I'm only a poor sorry uber noob starving for information. I suppose it really doesn't help that I don't even have the effing internet, but whatever. Your music is also in excellent taste. I had never heard of Furthernet, thanks for the tip. I like the way you express yourself and how you try to share info without asking for anything. We don't get much of that here in Spain. Everyone's so ignorant and hypocritical. Thanks also for helping me on opening my mind. I've been thinking to open up for a long time now, but haven't been able to. But now I think I found the problem. Thanks. Maybe I could help you find some cool stuff for your show. I'm only 16, but I know a little about assembly, C, Linux, and all the same random miscellaneous crap that any hacker should know to survive. Anyway, perhaps we could have a chat sometime and exchange info. Or on the other hand, maybe we could never talk. Or you could complain for the lame mail I sent you that took an hour to read. Or anything you want, really. You decide. Anyway, don't stop recording, man. Your show is cool. I hope to hear from you. Good luck. Have fun. See ya." Awesome. Well, let me tell you, first off, Necromagus Lumina, thank you so much for the email. Now, can I just run through this email? First off, you say, you know, sorry, you know, that you're just an uber noob starving for information. Well, let me tell you, dude, that's a lot of us. So, you're not alone on that. That's why a lot of us are here and how this stuff started. You know, we're all starving for information and curious about different things. Everybody has a little something to bring to the table. So, you're not alone. So, don't feel like you are. And also, you say you are from Spain. Let me tell you, brother, it amazes me, first off, that anybody even listens to this show. And the fact that there's somebody in another country listening to this internet radio show, wow. I am blown away. And not to mention that this person lives in Spain. That's awesome. Because in high school, I took Spanish all 4 years in high school. I got big into the Spanish culture, language, Spain, Mexico, that whole shebang, South America. It's all cool stuff. But especially Spain. Spain seems like a really cool country. I don't know. And in AP Spanish, you know, we did a lot of reading, like Don Quixote. The Adventures of Don Quixote captured my imagination, and I know that has been one of the bigger influences, definitely, on my quote-unquote works, or stuff I do. You know, yeah, definitely Don Quixote rung true. every time, you know, every word that I read, and it's in a freaking different language. You know, I didn't read the English language version. We went through the Spanish, the big ass fucking book too, let me tell you. But it's good stuff. So it's good to know that there are people out there listening, so thanks a lot. And also, I have to say, I love the cuisine over there. You know, maybe we're going to have to mail me over some flan. I love the flan. I don't know what's up with me, but hey, flan's like crack. I can't get enough. I need some flan. Just a little flan. Come on. But definitely, you want to contribute something? You know a little bit about Assembly C Linux? You probably know more than I do, definitely, hands down. So send some stuff in. Hell, record a twat, brother. We'd love to see that. And I hope to hear more from you. I hope you keep listening. Thanks for the email. All right. And, well, that's it for the email. Not that there's ever a lot. I'm not complaining. But, you know, if you guys want to send some in, you send some in and I'll read it. But, we got the large blinking red light on top, to let us know that, we've got some more voicemail. So, let's fire up the voicemail system here and see who we've got on the line.
Hey, Low Tech Mystic, this is Mr. White, FL Radio. Dude, thanks for picking me as the contest winner there, the promo winner. It's pretty fucking sweet, pretty stoked when I, you know, heard that and whatnot stuff. So, yeah, just want to call and say thanks, you know, whatnot. So, yeah, shout the Lord out of two for giving me a studio. It's pretty sweet. Talk to you later.
Hell yeah, awesome. Thank you, Mr. White, for recording it, all your promos and leaving this voicemail. Hell, this is soon to become the Ninja Night School voicemail with Mr. White show. But and I have to say, I never knew about F-Bill Radio until Mr. White made a promo and sent it my way, and that's right. Mr. White has his own radio show. How awesome is that? It's F-Bill Radio, and you should go and listen to it. And you can go to his website, which is the letter F, the word Bill, B-I-L-L, and then the word radio, R-A-D-I-O. And if you have a time machine, I recommend that you probably go ahead, go back in time, travel back in time, download the newest episode of F-Bill Radio. No. Download all the episodes of F-Bill Radio. And then listen to all the episodes of F-Bill Radio. And then listen to this episode. But only if you have a time machine. So, but highly recommend it. I can't highly recommend it, but I haven't listened to it yet. But I'm going to listen to it later on tonight when I'm at work delivering pizzas. So I'll be sure to let y'all know what I think. But, hey, it can't be too bad, right? Hey. But that's going to about do it for the housekeeping part of the show. So let's go ahead and move on out to something else. Alright, it's contest time here at Ninja Night School. And last week, I told you guys all about the cool Nauticon swag I've got. I've got the Nauticon program signed by all kinds of different speakers and by Froggy and Tiger, the people responsible for throwing on Nauticon itself. I got a Nauticon t-shirt. I got buttloads of Nauticon stickers. I've got cool CDs. I've got all kinds of different stickers. Nice little prize pack. But I told you you had to wait to this week before I tell you what the contest was, because we had a crack team of contest ninjas and assistant contest people from Odd City to assist in coming up with an awesome contest. And now, I am proud to present the awesome contest for you to win Nauticon swag. And the contest is this. You must create media. That's right. We want you to become the media as well. And when I say you must create media, we say that so that it's wide open. If you want to write a text file on something, write a text file. If you want to make a logo for Ninja Night School, that would be awesome. If you're good with graphics, hey, Ninja Night School needs a nice little button logo. Or, hey, any kind of logo in general. You know, you want to make a logo because you're good with graphics? Do it. Send it in. You could win. But graphics aren't your thing. No, you're good with audio? Or maybe you much better at audio than, say, graphics. Cool. Record a promo for the show. What? A promo? Yeah, dude, that's right. Record a promo? Hell, if it's good enough, it could win. I'm serious. Record a twat. That'll work too. Record anything. Send it in. Be creative. Be artistic. Whatever it takes, you guys do it. This contest is wide open. We want some kind of media. This contest is driven because we want people to get out there and help the community. This contest is wide open to anybody. If you are already doing your own kind of radio show or podcast, or you're putting out media and whatever, that's awesome. Do an episode and say, this is an entry for Ninja Night School's Nauticon contest. And send me an email and let me know, hey, this episode is for the contest. That'll work, and that'll get you in. And you'll have a chance at winning the Nauticon prize package. And let me tell you, the contests around here are just freaking crazy. Because, like, if you try for the contest, then you've most likely got, like, a 50% chance of winning the contest. Because apparently not a lot of people get into the contest. So, but hopefully, because all this cool Nauticon stuff, people want to get in. So, hey, you know, think about it. Let your creative side run free and wild. And I'm done rambling about this contest. So be creative. Send something in to me. Text file, audio, video, pictures, Hat TV, Twat Radio, something. Alright guys, today on Ninja Night School, we're going to talk about birds. Yeah, birds. Caw-caw? Tookie-tookie? That's right. Our fine feathered friends. But specifically, we're going to talk about the type of birds that can speak. Like parrots, or parakeets. Or, more specifically, in our case, the budgies. Which budgies are they're kind of like a type of parakeet. But some of them are capable of speech. And one very interesting budgie in particular, whose name was Victor, could speak rather well. And Victor had the appearance of going beyond mimicry. And actually being able to hold a conversation. Now, this is just weird. I'll admit it right off the top of the bat. It's a very interesting idea. You know, yeah, most of the time birds talk, but it's more mimicry. You know, Polly want a cracker? Polly want a cracker? Hello? Hello? You know, they just kind of pick up on one phrase and just repeat it over and over. Maybe not necessarily conscious of what they're speaking. But I remember hearing a while ago, I'm not sure really where I heard about it or where it necessarily came from, but I remember coming across it and I was reminded of it and I thought, man, this would be something just way too fun to share with everybody out there. And if you guys are interested in learning more stuff about Victor, as we're going to do on the show. But where I'm pulling all this information from is www.parrotresearch.com. That's parrotresearch, all one word, .com. So here on the front page, of ParrotResearch.com, it says, take a journey into the mind of a context-speaking parrot. The main focus of the study is about a budgie named Victor, who had a vocabulary of more than 1,000 words and understood their meaning as well. So, let's delve into this website here, and let's listen to some recordings of Mr. Victor, who Victor is now no longer with us. Victor is deceased. Victor's owner, trainer, and I'm sure friend was Ryan B. Reynolds. And Ryan B. Reynolds, I assume, he's the one that's put up this website, and he has made these recordings of Victor available on the internet. So we're going to go ahead and start with some recordings. I'm going to cut off the background music when I play the recording so you guys can get a good listen. You guys may want to listen a couple times through each one. We'll start out with a couple of the ones that are more clear and definitely easier to understand. So this first one here is entitled Victor's Laugh. And Ryan's comment on this is, this was right around the time I started putting up the words with Victor's recordings. Sometimes he would sit on my shoulder and watch me. In this clip, Victor starts off laughing and says, me like what you reads, me just laugh. So let's go ahead and listen to that. Okay, now this next little clip is entitled, Say a Goodie, and Ryan's description here is, this one is pretty cool. He tells you that his talking changes, so he is not mimicking. In it, he says, Victor's talking. Me going to say goodie. Yes, me like talking. They'll know he changes. So let's go ahead and fire that up. See what you guys think.
Victor's talking. The good is a good thing. Yes, there's good like talking. There are no changes.
Now, Ryan has a lot of information about Victor documented on the website. There's a lot of information there about him. He also notes that Victor had, you know, different toys. One of them was like a little fuzzy bird or something he kept in his cage. So this next clip kind of refers to that. It's entitled Fuzzy Wuzzy. And Brian's comments here on this was, he could say the whole verse of Fuzzy Wuzzy, but he came up with his own version. And what we'll hear is Fuzzy Wuzzy kind of smelt. Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bird. Yeah. And then Ryan goes on to note that he is totally right, though. His toy is called Fuzzy, and we often tell him it smells before we wash it. So, that's kind of interesting. This kind of starts to back up the claim, you know, if the bird is somewhat, you know, actually showing conversation and ability to pick up and express himself here. So, and learning. So, let's give a listen to this short little clip. Victor also had a mate. His mate's lovely, lovely name was Betty. And in this next clip, which is entitled Real Mad, Ryan describes, in this one, Victor knows I'm going to complain about him, saying that he doesn't understand what Betty is saying. I've joked before with him that I don't believe him when he tells me that he understands Betty's chirps. But after this one, I think I may have been wrong. He must have had a bad day because Anthony didn't believe something he said too. Finally, he had enough, and this is what he says. Betty, ask for carrots. Ryan, he will complain. And then you hear Ryan tell him that he doesn't believe him, and he thinks he's lying. And then Victor responds, "Are you Anthony? He just thought Victor lies. He should believe today. He thinks that I can be dishonest. I'm real mad. I'm so mad. I want you go away back to school." So, let's listen to that clip. Rather interesting clip, because there in that one clip it kind of demonstrates that birds understand what one another say to each other, that birds have some kind of native language, and that two, he can distinguish between who other people are. He knows who different humans are, knowing their name and what they've said. He's got the ability to somewhat long-term memory there, so maybe he's not so bird-brained. It's kind of interesting. Let's move along to the next clip here. The next clip here is entitled "People Food," and Ryan's description says, "Like all of Victor's audio files, this is 100% his own creation. Victor tries to convince Betty not to eat, quote-unquote, people food. My wife is making dinner, and Victor makes some remarks about it. This fuels his people food joke. He also starts off teasing me about touching my computer keys, as he knows I do not like it." And so Victor says, "I touch your computer. Ani makes dinner. Pretty poo-poo. People food. People poo and eat it. Good people fart bad air. Bad Betty. Watch out for people food. Lots of people like to see it. That's a joke, Ryan. Ryan sad." So, let's listen to this clip. Again, another rather interesting clip. Once again, Victor seems to be able to be aware of what's going on around him. He's able to recall that people food is bad for him, along with making two separate jokes. One apparent joke about touching Ryan's computer, and then another joke about people food and farting. And then he goes on to inform Ryan that he made a joke because Ryan is sad and he's trying to cheer up Ryan. That's interesting. So, let's go on to another little clip here. This next clip is entitled "The Runaway." And Ryan's description is, "Victor is a little worried after my wife and I have a disagreement about being on the computer so much. I leave the house to get some fresh air. When I get back, this is what he says. I told him later that he doesn't have to worry about me running away." In this clip, we'll hear Victor say, "Yeah, for sure, she listens. Betty teasing that you run away today's. Betty, So, let's listen.
Hey, the mic's on. What did you want to say? Okay, well, say something.
Again, another interesting comment here is that not only is Victor aware of what's going on, but it appears Betty, the other bird who they are teaching to talk, who at the time of like the recording and stuff, they were just getting her to speak her first couple words. So she wasn't really speaking a whole lot, but yet apparently she's able to listen to what's going on and understand, or either Victor is telling her what's going on, and then Betty teases Victor? That's some interesting personality traits here about the birds going on. It's kind of interesting. So, and while we're talking about Betty talking, it's a good segue into the next little clip here, which is entitled School for You, and Ryan describes it. This one shows how dedicated Victor was to teaching Betty to talk. Betty says her first words, and Victor has a burning desire to say something in the mic. You can tell he has a genuine excitement and understanding that this is an important step in him trying to be more like people. Interesting. So we'll hear Victor say, "Best budgie for talk. When I start talk people, it was a tough job. Betty's starting to talk. Are you going to choose a good boy? I'm okay. That's true. I do school for you. Maybe I'm just like you. Right away. Victor is teaching to talk. Right, right." Okay, so let's listen.
And now you're being recorded, so what do you think?
That last recording kind of sucked. You can tell there's some kind of background noise going on. It sounds like there's TV or something in the background. Doesn't make for the best of recording, but you can still hear what he's saying. And it's still kind of interesting there, because there you see Victor's personality and then wanting to be more like people and wanting to teach other birds how to speak to people. That's kind of an interesting idea. And nice little segue here with the TV going on in the background. It's kind of clear that apparently they watch a lot of TV together, which would kind of make sense if Victor's able to speak so well. They're constantly got the TV going on. That could be part of the influence going on there. But this next clip is entitled, "I'll Take You to Court." And Victor describes, or excuse me, Ryan describes this as, "Even budgies have rights. I used to watch a lot of Judge Judy, and Victor must have been listening and understanding what was happening. In this one, he gets upset at me for accusing him of pooing near my computer. He tells me not to make rush judgments, and he is so mad that he threatens to take me to court. I love the ending, but unfortunately, it got cut off just as he said the last word. You're going to have to take my word on it." He often made his own little rhymes like this, as you will probably notice in some of his other recordings. So we'll hear him, Victor, say, "Ryan, there's poo-poo here." And then you hear Ryan say, "I say it's not my poo-poo, it's yours." And then you'll hear Victor say, "I take you to something like court. I saw be there like that. Don't rush. Joke bad. Stop. Be nice." Yeah. And that's where it cuts off. And he says the part that got cut off was made by mice. But it stops at yeah. So let's go ahead and listen to that.
No, I don't poop with them. That's yours.
I'll take you to something like court. That's something weird like that. Don't rush too bad. Stop, be nice. Yeah, be
Alright, y'all. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed those little sound clips of Victor the Budgie. And as I said in the beginning, if you guys are interested in more stuff, if you want to hear tons more recordings, I believe there's some videos, all kinds of stuff at www.parrotresearch.com, or you could just Google, do a search for Budgies, Talking Budgies, Victor the Budgie. There's quite a bit of little information out there about them, and it's rather interesting. And now, I didn't bring it up to necessarily validate it one way or the other. It's not necessarily my interest. Is it true? Is it a fraud? I don't know. You know, if it's a fraud or a hoax or something like that, it definitely doesn't appear like an intentional one. I mean, I read somewhere on one of the sites where they were talking about this, and I definitely agree with this statement that if it, as a guy made, that was, he said, if it's a hoax, it's definitely not an intentional one. As you can tell, if you go to this website and you start flipping through some of the stuff, Ryan is very dedicated to his birds. You can tell that this man loved Victor and all his birds a lot. I mean, it's evident if you're going to get that kind of level of intelligence out of a bird, even if all that stuff was just mimicry, that's a lot of stuff to mimic, and that bird mimicked well. You know, so our spoke, whatever, the bird's doing it well, so Ron is clearly spending a lot of time, and he's got a lot of devotion to his birds. So, and it's definitely a very interesting case here, and it reminds me a lot of Coco, the gorilla. And I'm sure a lot more of you are a lot more familiar with Coco than you are Victor the Budgie. And as we all know, Coco learned sign language and could communicate with human beings. And Coco, a freaking gorilla that was taken from the jungle, or I don't know if she was taken from the jungle, but needless to say, you take a gorilla, teach it sign language, and suddenly you can communicate with a gorilla. That's an amazing idea. And then, you know, all the little interesting things about Coco, you know, the fact that she liked to paint, and the fact that they gave Coco a kitten, you know, to raise, and Coco had a doll, and then they gave Coco a kitten, and Coco treated the kitten like she was raising it, and, you know, you'd think a gorilla would just destroy a kitten, you know, snap its neck, and no, here's this huge gorilla, all gentle with a kitten. It's a lot of neat stuff going on there. You know, and Coco had a little stuffed doll. And Coco would attempt to teach the doll sign language, which is another interesting thing that if we see the stuff that Victor was doing, and if it's genuine, Victor was trying to teach Betty people speak. You know, in that one clip, he was supposedly super excited that Betty says her first words. You know, so these are interesting traits. If this is all valid, we're seeing in different species the same qualities and traits, the same desire to communicate, and the same desire to spread the ability to communicate between all species, or, you know, the two adjoining species or whatnot. You know, the gorillas attempting to teach the other gorillas or what it's with how to speak with people so that they can all talk. These are interesting concepts, and it just kind of makes you think, you know, if we're going to go with the whole Darwinian evolution, or think that, you know, we people evolved from monkeys, or, you know, some form of primate, that it's kind of interesting. You know, it wasn't something that happened overnight. It just didn't, you know, flip a switch and one day we go from primate to regular man. you would assume that it would be kind of a slow, gradual process. And if this would be the case, then are we possibly seeing the beginnings of a new possible evolutionary beginning? You know, like with the gorillas, it would be probably more of a natural thing. You know, we're a lot closer relative to the gorillas. So, I don't know the specific numbers, but they say that genetically we are very similar to the gorilla. So you figure that if we're all that much similar, then, you know, in the timeline, in the grand scale, it shouldn't be that far behind. So to think that the gorilla would have the capacity to be taught is not that surprising. It would be more surprising to see gorillas communicating out on their own. It's already been documented, like gorillas using tools and stuff like that, which is interesting, using sticks to bash stuff open, and they're showing intelligence, and they're definitely there. And with the birds, like the parakeets and the budgies and the parrots, that would be more of a definitely man kind of influence thing. You know, that would be a selective breeding process. We have man somewhat involved in helping weed out the non-speaking birds for the more favorable birds who could speak, just by selection. So, it's just something I thought I'd throw out there, sitting here in Ottawa City on a rainy day. You get bored. Interesting stuff to think about. So, I hope this has nothing else oiled the gears and got you guys thinking a little bit. And nothing else, I hope it was somewhat entertaining, though. That's about gonna do it for this episode. So, until next time, we'll see y'all around.
Downtown, I saw Miss Brown. She had brown sugar all over her book. I would think I might join the fun, but I had to hit and run. You see, I just can't settle down in the kinky part of town. Ride on, ride on, ride on. Right on, kinky reggae, kinky reggae now, kinky reggae, kinky reggae now, kinky reggae, kinky as kinky, kinky reggae now, kinky reggae, kinky reggae now. Nice one, nice one. Nice one, nice one, nice one. I went down to Piccadilly Circus. That's where I saw Marcus. He had the candy tart all over his chocolate bar. See, I like to join in the fun, but I had to hit him right. Kinky part of town. Right on, right on, right on, right on. Kinky reggae, kinky reggae now, kinky reggae, kinky reggae now, kinky reggae, kinky reggae. Kinky reggae, kinky reggae, right on, right on.